Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you mivein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Ayin Hey, and we are holding on daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beit on the final line. Hakorea Amanat Litfor. The next case we had in the Mishnah was a malacha that was called tearing, but it was a tearing which was not meant to be just to ruin something, but tearing in order to be able to make a repair, sewing repair. Where in the world did such a thing take place in the Mishkan, asked the Gemara? I mean, we said that we're using the Mishkan as our motto. I can't think of anywhere we would need to do that. Kriya b'mishkan mihavi. Rabba v'rabizir d'amr tavayot. We do indeed, because, look, you can imagine that during the period that all of these yiriyot were being made and used, that there would certainly be some problems with moths now and then, you know? So yiriyash enough about darna. So in a case where you have a larvae that eats a hole in a urea, what are you going to do? Throw out the whole urea, and it's like a $1 million thing. So what they would do, it's called imba, they would cut a straight line across it. Vitofrimota, that just does not leave a seam, I could seam to the middle of the urea. It says they were geniuses. In other words, they could do it in such a way that there would be no indication that there was
weave looking at them?
No, not weave. This is tvira. I'm an athlete far. So they were able to match it up perfectly and do such tiny stitching. No, invisible mending is actually weaving. They mend it by sticking in additional threads. But it's a type of invisible one, yeah? Mm-hmm. So anyway, they were experts, so they could do it. Omer of Zidra Bartuvia Omarav. Obviously, now here again, we don't get a shear of Almanat Litfor Shtei Tfirot, because they must use 1,000 Tfirot, tiny Tfirot to cut across. But nonetheless, this does this, but that already we use our Svar. Shtei Tfirot is the shear of the Chashivas for Tfira, and we're not deriving the shear from the Mishkan. The shear is an application of, okay, but this type of malacha, again, the universalization of the malacha, what is reasonable as being meaningful for people to make a malacha in Makshevet? Omer Avzutra Bartuvi Omerat, Amotea Chutcho Tviracha B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat. These were three ma'amorim that Rabbi Zutra Bartuvia heard from Rav, and he put them together. They're completely unrelated, but this was his thing from Rav that he had heard. So one thing is, and that's why I bring it here, you have a loose thread that has been sewn, and because of that there's a little bit of give in a material, which happens sometimes. So what you do is you pull the thread taut, and by pulling it taut you pull the material back together. It was all very nice during the week, except on Shabbos it's an actual act of tevirah, because the strength of pulling on it pulls the two pieces of material together through tevirot, and that's what tevirah is. So that was one ma'amar. Another ma'amar was halomei davar achad min hamagosh. I'm just going to see in a moment what exactly a magosh is. But even to learn Divrei Torah from a guy like that would be chayav mita, so to speak. The man is going to lead you to your grave. A person who would be capable of doing some science and doesn't, you know what the Pirushim on the Medrash, particularly Yifator, learns that this doesn't mean it's usher to talk with him, it's usher to say good things about him. So you're going to say, oh, this is such a gadol b'tayr. Well, the guy doesn't even care about, as we're going to see, it's Paul Hashem lo yavitu. You're going to say something good about this guy. Next thing you know, he's going to teach you not to believe in evolution. It's a disaster. Magushta. What is a magushta? Rav Shmuel Chadamar Charshi. It's like these guys going around, you know, with black magic and everything. The Chadamar Gedufi, now, it's an actual, it means a philosopher, a theologian is constantly giving you reasons to believe in whatever, Zoroaster, Buddha, right?
Magi.
Yeah, Magi. So it has both meanings, even in English. Yeah, the Magi. So it is magic, a magician, and the other one is actually the philosopher, the magic, basically, who draws you to different types of religions. So to stay in the Rav Domer Gedufi, it must be that, even though it says over here, Chad Omer, we don't know what Rav said, we don't know what Shmuel said, but it's clear who said what. Because it can't be that Rav was the one who said a magician, because why would then Rav have said, oh, we just made that for you. My grandson wanted to sit only next to Rich. Of course, the last time you sat together was 6 years ago in Purim. This is Leviat's son. You were over at their house, remembering. Great. So Rav must be the one who says that it's a mean, basically, because we just had Rav Zutra Bartuvia Amarav, Halomei Davar Achad Min Hamagosh Chayav Mita. Now, why would Rav have said that this guy is basically murdering your soul? Isak Lech Charshi, if all the guy is doing is black magic, There's nothing wrong in learning from it. Because HaKtiv lo tilmad la'asot, aval ata lomed la'avino la'horot. Even though you're not allowed to learn about these things in order to be able to act out in these ways, but you're certainly meant to understand what it is that they do and what they're talking about. So why would he say you can't even learn Torah from him? It makes no sense. It's got to be that he was talking about this weird theologian who's going to present reasons to be mace at you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what it means to have mita. Om Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Baruch HaParah. Kol HaYodea L'Chashev, B'Tkufot U'Mazalot V'Eino Choshev. Somebody would be capable of doing some astronomy and doesn't. Alav HaKatuv Omer V'Pol HaShem Lo Yabitu U'Ma'aseh Yadav Lo Ra'u. These are the people who aren't interested in knowing about what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, understanding a little bit of nature. Now they don't care. How do we know that there's a chiyuv midoraita to actually know these things? Now, what are you going to say? To give them a big drasha that they would hear from their pastor. You know, we have to trust in God. We have to blah 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 blah. That's the kind of thing that's going to be. Obviously, you're going to have to talk to them intelligently, which has got to mean that you understand the world. Now, if that's the case, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu is taking for granted that the Torah that he's referring to is a Torah that reflects on the nature of Bria itself, which is that Goyim would be able to see. Any Goy can relate to that kind of thing, and indeed, of course, that was humanity's breakout from a primitive vision of reality. It starts with trying to understand what it is that you see around you in the universe. It's the first step. That's how you discover gravity, discover Kepler, orbits, so on and so forth. And then you start coming to understand what the world is about. And we continue in the Mishnah. The next thing we had was Hatzad Tzvi. Okay, now again, to expand on that, trapping a deer. Well, I mean, in the Mishkan, there was also Tzad Chilazon. You had to collect a Chilazon, whatever exact organism or muscle that is in the sea. If you do that, you trap it, and up puts O, and then you crack it, you press it in order to get its juice out to make the trelet, you're still only chayev once. Because you would think that there's two things we're going to discuss in a moment. I mean, you're tzad, and then basically you kill it, or maybe you squeeze it, that's disha. So, but no, you're only chayev once. So Rabbi Yudaimer, no, you're chayev two times. Chayev shtayim, because Rabbi Yudaimer, tziya bichlal disha. If you're potzeo, which means you crush with your hands, squeeze it, in order to be motzi, the what they call the dam of the chilazon, isn't really dam, but it's a hafrasha of the chilazon, you're only chayev on tzeda and not on the tziya, because there's no disha for some reason. We'll discuss it in a moment, according to what Rabbi Yudaimer is saying, but that is disha. Disha always means to separate out two things that are linked one with another, like the inside of the chita from its covering, or, in this case, you're pressing out the liquids that are in the body from its container, which is the body and is the capillaries that it's in, and that is considered to be disha. Omar Rava, why in the world did the Rabbanan say, Eim siya b'chlal disha? My time, Rabbanan. Ah, because as we saw earlier, some of the melachot are specifically part of an agricultural process, and therefore disha is another example of this. In disha el gedulei karka, we don't take some of these melachot and abstract them out of agriculture. They're meant to be agricultural processes. So yes, we can extend it from grain to making orange juice or whatever. We're going to see whether you'd be high of an orange juice, certainly grape juice, things that are meant to be used that way essentially. But wait a minute. I mean, when you crack it like that, you press it, you kill it. And I thought it says shochto, that's netilat neshama. That was one of the melachot. So why wouldn't you be chayev mishum netilat neshama? Well, actually, some ask the question, and why aren't you chayev for taking it out of the water? Doesn't that kill it? And it appears quite clear that no, it doesn't kill it. That actually, tilazon is an amphibian, and you're not going to kill it by taking it out of the water. It won't survive in it.
What's the source of the
show? Oh, again, that's the Oroth that we met and had to kill the Aileen. Right? And we had to use the leather. I mean, that's what we'll talk about the leather maybe. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, what it meant that you would be chayev, what it meant over here is that you crack it open, you squeeze it, when it's already dead, not that you killed it on Shabbos. Rabbi says, no. That's a mita seku. It's on the tirat nishamami. You don't want to kill it. You just want to squeeze all its juice out, you know. Wait a minute. Isn't that the classic example of secretion? That even Rabbi Shimon, who holds the davar she'inu mitkaven, is mutar, is moda in that classic case where a guy cuts off the head of a chicken to use as a little puppet for his kids. You know, but you just killed that chicken on Shabbos. Oh, did I? I didn't mean to kill it. I only wanted to cut off its head. I didn't intend for it to die. So, seek reish of a loyal mood. You cut off its head, you say, I didn't want it to die. I mean, the same thing, you take the chilazim, you crack it, squish it. Oh, no, I didn't mean to kill it. What else are you doing? No, says the Gemara. In this case, even Rabbi Shimon would not agree that it's a psikresha v'lo yamut. You know why? Because a normal psikresha, that's how Rashi understands, a normal psikresha is the result, which is the psikresha, what we're calling psikresha, obviously means the result of the psikresha, the death of cutting off the head. It doesn't interest you one way or the other. I mean, chicken dies, you know, but that's not my intent. My intent is to take off its head. Over here, it does interest you. You don't want the chilazon to die. Because as long as it's alive, then the hafrasha of whatever it is that it's excreting, which is basically a fluid that it uses for escape, it does a better job when it's alive, and that you get a better product. So in this case, it's a psikresha de lo nechala. You don't want it. You're actively, you're doing your best to avoid squeezing it to the point where it's actually going to die. You'd like to keep it alive as long as possible. And therefore, we cannot consider that to be something which is the equivalent of, well, since you know it's going to die, that is your intent. It is bedafka not my intent. Because, as Rashi says, your whole purpose over here is to keep it alive. And he's toreach l'shomro that it shouldn't die. He's trying his best to do things in such a way that would by no means be an example of what Rabbi Shimon would hold as the equivalent of being mechave. Because what's the point of a psikresha v'lo yamut? That it boils down to your intent. What do you mean cutting off that of a chicken when you don't want it to die? I mean, that is the act of killing a chicken. Masha Inken, over here, everything that you're doing is to avoid that result. You can't say, so you're saying, that boils down to your intent. Over here, it does not boil down to my intent because I'm trying to avoid that. So it cannot be more than basically an eino mechave, the ultimate eino mechave.
Is there any differentiation between different species and the value of their lives or of the idea of the killing?
Yes. We will see later on that those species that appear to spontaneously generate are not considered to be nitilat neshama. In other words, they are just random collections of molecules that happen to live, but they're not. They don't live.
Killing them is no
right. Right. No, exactly.
Not really killing.
Yeah, because right. They're not really living.
Yeah. But as far as snails versus...
Right, no, let's say you kill it. That's the way the Gemara puts it, you know, you kill a mosquito, it's like killing a camel. Yeah. That doesn't really matter. In terms of the Tilat
Neshama. So mosquitoes are a higher level than those things?
Yeah, we'll discuss it when we get there. Tosfos doesn't like this pshat. Tosfos does not like Rashi's pshat in the Pesik Reshidol Nechalei, because he says it doesn't address the underlying issue. And the underlying issue is that if you're telling me that an unavoidable byproduct of something is the full equivalent of an intent for it, what do you care if you don't like it? You have to add an additional point over here, says Tosfos. That additional point is then, if by definition, since the malach is netilat neshama, over here, it's a malach ein tzricha legufa, because you don't want that result. The fact that it happens is an additional issue over here. You're always part of the malach ein tzricha legufa. So if you're potter, according to this, is the same Rabbi Shimon. So if you would be potter, that is what you take into consideration together with the idea of the psikresha lo nechalei. But to simply say psikresha lo nechalei would not have made it mutter. V'ashochato. Now, shochet mishum mai chayav. Tosfos says, now look, this should not be misunderstood as being the continuation of the previous Gemaras, which were taking the cases in the Mishnah, and then you were questioning how that case could be expanded, because it's ridiculous. You can't ask shochet mishum mai chayav if you just said that's the name of the av malach. What is that supposed to mean? Shochet mishum mai chayav. Maybe for shochet? Oh dear, I didn't think of that. I mean, so clearly this has got to be a separate question. It's not going back. This was a communication of Rav. A guy does shchita. What is he chayav? I'm doing shchita. And we'll see what this means is what else might you be chayav on, besides the act of shchita per se of nitilat neshama? So Rav says, well, you could be chayav for dying. So aren't you always wondering why dying and dying are related? You know, so if the thing dies, you've died it. Actually, when you shecht it, you get blood around its neck, and that dyes the skin around its neck. So you'd be chayav mishum tzoveya. Now, Rav is going to say this is crazy on himself in a minute. And Shmuel says, if you shecht it, you're chayav for killing it. Wait, when Rav says mishum tzoveya, he said only for dying it and not for getting it dead? How about netilat neshama? Mishum tzoveya, mishum netilat neshama, lo? Obviously, what Rav is trying to say is that you are also chayav mishum tzoveya. After saying this, Rav says, gentlemen, Milta da Amri, I just said something, but I'd like to add a little piece to what I said. Aim above Milta, I would like to add a little piece, because I know what's going to happen. Generations to come will sit there and read this Gemara and laugh at me. So I don't want the late Dari Batroi, those later generations are going to listen to me and they're going to smile. Because they're going to say, what does he come off at? So they are. I mean, what is Tzoveya? Tzoveya b'may nechalei. Why in the world would that be an act of tzina? The Chayodom speaks out. I mean, you're going to laugh. I mean, what's the problem? Because what? It's a malachim tzich legufa. I mean, it's not you laugh. I mean, it's okay, maybe we don't pask it like that, but why would they laugh at him? This is because it doesn't even relate to the act of tzviya. It's not the normal way of tzviya. Cut a neck, get blood, and that's tzoveya. That's hilarious. Unless, it's not the derech to be tzoveya. It's like the absurd psak of don't walk to the Kotel on Shabbos because there's a camera that's going to take a picture of you. So you've been going pictures on Shabbos. So over here, they're going to laugh. Unless it's part of the act of shechita to always want to be tzoveya. And they are going to think that's ridiculous. Aha! And I am going to explain it to you. You guys know nothing about marketing. I'll bet you would try to sell salmon without dyeing it first with some poisonous dyes so people will be convinced that it's fresh, rich, red salmon, right? Well, I'll bet you would buy nice red meat in the supermarket, not realizing that it ain't fresh. They make it red. Well, over here in the shlachos, when they check something, they want it to look fresh. And therefore, they really want it to be dyed red. If they didn't have any blood to dye it red, they'd be spray painting it. So therefore, it really is sphere. Genius. So I want to explain. You're going to say, but my nechalei. They want it to look all bloody and red. Oh, wow, look at this fresh meat. And therefore they come and they buy. Little did they perceive that the day would come in which meat was not supposed to have blood, you know. It was supposed to look like something that arrives wrapped in plastic, all sterile, and has nothing to do with organisms.
Equivalent from stomach block from a blind person. Because they didn't know that it's blood, and now they're eating blood.
No, don't do the malicha, don't worry.
Oh, they
didn't. Next case we had makes no sense. Salting skins and working on skins are two ways of doing the same thing. I mean, you're basically preserving the skin. Part. Okay, that does it. I would watch out if I were you, Richie. You were doing pretty good actually in the beginning. It's the heat.
It's
the heat. Okay. So the Mishnah is repetitive. There is no two separate things that were done that are choshev like we answered before in the Mishnah. This was part of one process. Molcho ma'abdo. That's haynu ma'abed. And remarkably, it turns out that our list of 39 melachot was wrong. Actually, say Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree on this, you've got to take out either molech or ma'aveh, because they're basically the same melacha, and take that out and put instead a new melacha called sirtut. Because when we were dealing with the melachot of Orot, and I mentioned to you that there was a beautiful Ishbitzer, who points out the Seder in the Mishnah is the Seder of Tzitzit, tying your Tzitzit. And he adds it up even Begematrius, it comes up the same Gematrius. It's a rather amazing piece. But the way that he sees the sets in the Mishnah is that you have the set first of the Melachot, starting from Zorea, which is Melachot HaPat, is 11. And then you have the first Begadim, which is 13.
And then you have the melachot ta'or, which is seven. And then you have eight varied melachot that come at the end, which is this broad sense, which means that he is not including the kotev as part of the issues of the or. But what we were missing in or is sirtut. Now, there's the sirtut, obviously, we do for writing. It's called sirtut. But the sirtut that we're referring to over here is the sirtut that comes before the mechatech. So before you cut skin, you very carefully do this in factory all the time. You very carefully draw on the skin by making a thin, small mark on the skin, exactly where you want it to be cut. Then you go and you actually cut this. So that sirtut is also one of the melachot of the or, and that's missing in our Mishnah. Omar Rabba Baravuna, I bound the molach bisra chayev bishu me'abed. You salt your meat, you're going to be chayev for what? You're going to be chayev for tanning skin? Rabba says, there's no such thing. How can foodstuff be tanned? In ibud bo klim. Omar Ravashi, let's understand what's going on over here. Rabba Baravuna doesn't mean you're about to have a meal and you salt some meat and that's considered to be tanning or koshering your meat. He's talking about you make one of those awful Jewish salamis that hang for the next 50 years and that are almost inedible because they're as hard as bricks.
Biltong's
not that hard. So he's talking about biltong is insulted. That's the point. So lo amrel to kaboyle lo urcha. Guy is going to be going to Antarctica. So he's got to do malicha to such an extent that it's literally almost inedible. And that way he's going to have at least his protein with it. Avalabeta for his home. Lo mashu inish michle eats. People don't make their food into wood. And therefore, you couldn't possibly view that as being the equivalent of ibud orot. And then, we're continuing on the melachot ha'or, and we're talking about smoothing out the skins. Omer avaka barabi chanina, you should know that if you were shaf, beina amudim, so that Rashi learns that what this means is that you've got an area where there's a few pillars, one next to the other, supporting a tall roof, and you walk in between them to smooth the ground down in between them, that is called memachek, because you smooth the ground. Now, the Ron brings this approach of Rashi, and he says that memachek, this is binyan. I mean, this is what does it have to do with memachek? Memachek on a rote? He says the point of Beina Amudim is that Amudim are always wallpapered. What they do is they surround the bottom with skin to make it look pretty, so that you have these beautifully covered Amudim. And obviously you can't use just paper for wallpapering it. They use skins to make it pretty. And therefore, if you walk between them, you're rubbing against them and so on, you're really smoothing down that or. So it is a real memachek. On Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Shlosha Dvarim Sakhli Reb Ashi, Bishmei Reb Yehoshua Ben Levi. There were three things, interesting halachas, that Reb Ashi was talking to me once. He mentioned in the name of Reb Yehoshua Ben Levi, and he pointed out like this, somebody who's Migareid or Rashek L'Nasot Shabbat, a guy has these pieces of wood that he needs to stick into his canopy bed or something. Right? So he's having a hard time, so he takes a knife and he just cuts off a little piece of the wood to be easier to go in. He'd be chayv mishum mechatech because he wants it to fit, and cutting to fit is mechatech. Hamemareach retiyah b'shabbat. You take a little bit of vitamin D ointment or Vaseline and you put it on a gauze pad, and then you rub the gauze pad up against the wound, you know, cover it. But that's memachek, because you're smoothing it out over the skin. And the third thing he told me is, you'd have an evan, which is already, it's a usable evan. Right? So what you do is you're misatate the evan. Some learn to misatate over here, some you're trying to learn is just to pretty it up, like we use over here in the Yerova all the time. You have an evan that fits, but you see the guy sitting there and he's misatate. How do you say misatate again in English?
Chisel.
Yeah, that's what we call it, that, yeah. So he chisels it just in order to make it, give it that pretty... speckled effect on the outside of the oven. So it's basically cosmetic. But that is what you do to finish it up. And that would be makeb patish, because basically you're completing this oven the way that you want to use it. Omer b'shim ben kisim, omer b'shim ben lokish, hatzar tzura b'kli. Somebody who just makes a kli pretty. And he, or he's midafeach b'kli zchuchit. He does the glass blowing in binyan b'kelim. So what chiyuv would there be? It's chayv b'shumakev b'patish, because this is the completion of the kli. Om Reb Yehuda Haiman de shokel akufei miglimei. A guy puts on a new sweater, and it's got some threads that are hanging out. Well, he doesn't want that on his beautiful new suit or sweater, so he pulls them out to make it neat. He'd be chayv for Chilul Shabbos. Why? Makiba Patush. It's the last thing you need to complete the sweater. Of course, that's not even the kopira layer. That's only if he really doesn't want to wear a sweater like that. If he not just, you know, not, what's this doing here? Then it's not a malacha, because he would wear it anyway. V'akotev shtei otiyot. Turn around on him. There's two ways of looking at this. You have kotev and mochek. Now, if you're being kotev, the reason that you're chayev is not because of the size, it's because of the information. Therefore, I don't care if you write a very big letter. So, well, we could have written two letters. Why wrote a big letter? No. The malacha is writing two letters. That's to contain the information that was contained in the Mishkan. That's the way that they did it. So they would put one oat on the Keresh, and onto wherever they were matching it up to, or the next Keresh, or whatever they were inserting it into, was the other oat. So there needed to be a matchup of two otiyot. But mochek is not the destruction of information. Because the meaning of mochek is only if there is room to write in the place that you were mochek, two otiyot. So then it has nothing to do with the information. Therefore, if you're being mochek, a large oat, to leave room for writing two otiyot, it's exactly the same mochek. How do you like that? So katav ot echad gedola, v'yesh b'mkom alechtov shtayim, you would be potter. But if we were mochek ot echad gedola, and yesh b'mkom alechtov shtayim, you'd be chayek. Omer b'minachem Rabbi Yosef, yes! And remember that means you can have a chumrah in mochek over kotev. People usually think that these are just opposites of each other, but they're not. There are two completely separate types of malachot that are loosely related to each other. But mochek is not the opposite of kotev. How do you like that?
Beautiful.
Right, exactly. So mochek is essentially a preparation of a writing surface, whereas kotev is actually putting down information.
You really have to want to write afterwards the erasing?
Yeah. Otherwise it's stomach. V'abone v'asoter v'anachon. That's fine. You match up two olives. Yeah, we'll talk about surot and so on later. We're going to have more on these things.
Now it's any two letters.
Yeah. Rabba v'Rabbi Zeira d'Yarmatavar. Kol mide. What is the meaning of a makiba patish? Makiba patish is the ultimate abstraction. Makiba patish means that anything which is the last thing that would indicate that you have completed a malacha is itself a malacha. So that gemar malacha itself is chayim mishum makiba patish. It's a metaphor. It's not a particular act. You don't do makiba patish with a hammer. I mean, you could, theoretically. But generally, makiba patish is a metaphor for an act of completion. Now, we have a very weird repetition at the end of the Mishnah. It starts off that melachot ha-shabbat, arba'im chaser achat, and we ask, minyan alomali, and we said the whole thing, minyan is to teach me how many chatot you can be chayim. And then at the end of all of that, it repeats the same thing. Elu avot melachot, arba'im chaser achat. I mean, that is completely repetitious. So why does it repeat it? Well, there's two things over here. First of all, elu avot melachot. What is the elu repeated for? That's African Rebbe Eliezer. It's coming to tell you, these are avot melachot, and only avot melachot could be machayev you separately to 39 separate chataot.
What in the act?
Where's the explosion?
You didn't hear the bang? You're so sleepy you didn't even hear the bang. You didn't hear it coming. All that time between pulling the trigger and the bullet. You didn't hear a thing. That's merciful. No, it was already gone.
At least the 60th.
Right. Okay, so Rebbe Eliezer holds, now wait a minute, there's 39 melachot, but that's not the total number of chataot. That's only the total number of chataot you can bring for the avot. How about if you went ahead and you did a tolda with the av, so you could get to 10 million chataot. Therefore, it's repeating, no, elu avot melachot and only avot melachot, that would lead you to separate chataot. And then repeating again, chaser achat, which is coming to tell me we're being very precise in the melachot over here. Why do I need to repeat that? Lafuk and Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was mosif to melachot, which we don't have, obviously arguing on the whole idea of Ela Hadavarim and so on. What was he mosif? He was mosif shovet and midakdek. So shovet would be where you separate out, you make very, very exact the chutei hashiti. When in a weave, so that they should be completely straight, and that way you don't have any kind of ugliness in your weave in the end. So you take something, you separate them out so that they're exactly at the same distance from each other on top. Remember, this could be, you could have 10 feet, or nowadays you could have 100 feet of shiti with the big machines, in which the threads are all stretched out in order to make now room, and then you put your shovel through it. They have to be very exactly spaced. That exact spacing is called shoveit. And there's also middakdek. Middakdek means to make certain that when the shovel goes through and pulls, you want to make sure you have a little bit of give. Because if it pulls, you're going to end up having a material that's going to go in and out, and it's going to be stiff. So you give a little bit of a bang, just enough to release a tiny bit of extra thread from the shuttle, and that way you're not pulling on the chutei hashiti. And those are two separate melachot.
In weaving?
Omrulo, no. Those are separate melachot. Shoveit is part of Mesach. Mesach is setting up the chutei hashiti. So setting them up evenly is not a separate melachot. That's how you set it up, and it's included in the Mesach. And midakdek, that's part of how you're supposed to be arrayed. That's weaving. Weaving is to be careful not to pull too tight. That is, why is that a separate melachot? And therefore, Mishnah repeats, this is it. Arba'im choser achad. Take out anything extra, because that's not meant to be there. Akorea amanat litfor. Kriya, b'mishkan mi'abe, rabba verb. Zera metaval, yes. Shekin yiriya shenafa badarna, kor imba v'tofrimota. Onra zutabar tov yamarav. Hamotea chutshot tvira b'shabat, chayav katat. The second thing I learned from Rav. The third thing I learned from Rav, what is a magushta? Rav Shmuel Chanamar Charshi v'Chanamar Gidufin. Now here it doesn't say who said what, but from the above statement of Rav we can figure it out, because Tistayin the Rav the Yomar Gidufin. Because since we just quoted Rav Zutra Bar Tuv Yomarav saying Alo Beidavarach Ben Amagosh Chayav Mita, he's got to understand the Magosh as basically being a Mesit and some kind of strange religious philosopher. Because Esau Kadaita Charshe, I mean, the Torah specifically says you are allowed to study it as long as you don't believe in the nonsense. Haktiv Lo Tilmad La Sot Avalat Alamed La Vin Vela Horot. You're right. This Tayyim, that indeed is Rav Shita. Rabbi Shimon the Baz. Rabbi Yeshurim Levi. Mishum Bar Kapara. Once we've started on the idea of science, I just want you to know. The Kalo Yodea Lechashev Bet Kufot Abazalot Veino Choshev Allah Vakatuv Omer Vet Paul Hashem Lo Yabitu Ba'ase Yadav Lo Ra'u. This was one of the Groz pet peeves, as you know. So that he actually... some say he actually wrote it himself, his geometry book, said he had a Talmidim write it, but wanted to make sure that all of the kids that were studying in the Kadorim would know basic mathematics and so on. And he was very upset about Gedolim that were not Bekiyim in science, and he said, look at all the other Dorot, all the Dorot, the Tanoim, the Amoroim, the Goyim used to look at them with respect, discuss reality with them. Look at the Rambam, look at the other Rishayim that went out of their way and were Mekadashim Shamayim and knew the Torah has to be Chokhbatchem and Vinatchem Leinam. What are these guys doing? This was like a very big issue. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of that brought in the Kol HaTorah and the Hakdama to the Pata Shulchan of how Makbid Negra was on knowing things. He was a famous mathematician himself. Anyway. So, what is Chachmatchem Bevinatchem Leinayamim? Aviyom Ezech Yishuv Tkufot Umazorot. Atzat Tzvitan Rabban. Atzat Chilazon Vahapotseo. Eno Chayav Ala Akat. Reb Yudomer, what do you mean? What about squeezing the liquid out? Chayav Shtayim. Shahaya Reb Yudam Reb Tziya Bechal Disha. Omrulo, no, it's not. Ein Tziya Bechal Disha. Omrulo, why not? My time to Rabbanan. Because the old Disha is agricultural only. And in Disha, the Gedulei Karka. But what about killing the poor thing? I guess it's got to be talking about that I was already dead when you were squeezing. Rav Amar, no. He didn't want it to die, did he? So he's a mitaseket to the Tilat Neshama. But I thought that's the classic Abaye of Rav Damitavai Mother Rabbi Shimon. But Psik Reish of Elo Yamut, this is literally a Psik Reish, isn't it? No, because Shani Arthur, you don't want it to die. It's not just that you're saying, well, you know, I wasn't thinking about it to die. You're trying your best to keep it alive. The Gokama, the Eat Be Nishamat, Venechale, Gehecha, the late Seltzive, Hashokato. What else could you be chayev on? It's going to end up meaning shochet, v'shumayim v'chayev, rav amar, wait, you've got soveya, because the blood dyes the area around the throat, shmul amar. No, no, it's on the kilat neshama. Wait a minute, rav is saying that you're chayev only v'shum soveya? What about netilat neshama, which is the meaning of shochet? Obviously, lo, ema av v'shum soveya. Omar Rav, after he said this, says, listen, I said something. I'd like to add a little bit, please. Milta Damri Hema Bamilta. Delolite Dori Batro. You don't know anything about marketing. They'll laugh at me. Tzoveya Bamay Echale. They're going to ask me. I'll tell you. Necha the Litvas Beta Shchita. Dama. Yechle Litzuya Inchi. And it'll look fresh. Volite Lizibinumine. So it's a marketing trick. Vamocho Vame Abdo. Isn't that the same thing? Rabbi Yochanan ben Shlomo says, indeed, the Mishnah is misleading, and there's a mistake. Afik chad minayo, and in its place, ayo sirtut. Omer Rabba Barvon, ayo man demalach bizrachayim ishum me'abed. Rabba Omer Haki says, any bud bo clean. Omer Vashi, even Rabba Barvon was talking about where a guy is making an almost inedible salami that is hard like a rock. Omer the kaboyle the wurcha. Avala beta, you're right. Loma shrinish michle eats. You know, turn your food into a hard piece of wood. Mimbachakom, chatchom, ravachabar, rabichanina. Hashaf, bena, amodim, shabbat, kayabishim, machek. Omri, kibarava, shloshat, varim, sakli, ravashi, bishmed, rabishim, and labi. First of all, amigareid, roshekon, asok, shabbat. That's michatech, even though what you're cutting off is not alpi. The midah of what you need, it's what you're leaving, that's the midah. Same thing. And ha'mimareach retiyah b'shabbat is considered to be mimachek, which is why we can't use that stuff on diaper, you know, for diaper rash, a big problem, or for somebody's got a sore, you cannot use an actual ointment. Va'amisatet et ha'even b'shabbat, chayam shumake b'patosh. Om Rebbe Shimon bar Kisma, Om Rebbe Shimon Loki, shatzar tzra b'kli. Or Aminatheach, Beklis Chuchit, Chayam Ishumak Bepatish. On Reb Yudam on the Shakla Kufi Miglime, even a couple of threads that are hanging off a new sweater. Chayam Ishumak Bepatish. But Hanimili to Kopit Alayu. Hakotev Shte Otiyot, Ton Rabbanat, Katav Otachat Gdola, Yeshbun Kamalach Tav Shtayim, Patur. But if you're Machak Ot Gdola, Yeshbun Kamalach Tav Shtayim, then you'll be Chayav because Kotev and Mochek are not opposite melachot, they in a way have nothing to do with each other. Amr minak Rabbi Yosi, yep, zechom Rabbi Mochek b'kotev. How do you like that? I mean, everybody thinks just the opposite. Very counterintuitive. Ha boneh ve'asoter b'chabev v'amavir v'hamakeh b'patish. Now that's the one thing that is not very clear. Rabbi Zeret Amr Davayu, it's a metaphor. Kol midi pegmar melacha chayam mishum makeh b'patish. And then we repeat Elu Avot Melachot Arba'im Chasrachat. Why do we repeat Elu? That's Lafuk and Reb Eliezer V'Chayev Al Tolada B'Makom Ha'av. And why do we repeat Arba'im Chasrachat? Lafuk and Reb Yehuda. Tetani Reb Yehuda Mosif Shovet Midak Deik. Amrulo Shovet is just part of Mesach. Midak Deik is Bichlal Oreg, not separate Melachot.